The Joyride has arrived in Onalaska, and we're going to celebrate eating locally this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, October the 17th. We are in our fifth week of our statewide tour, broadcasting from a different region of the state every Friday morning through the end of October. And today, very happy to be at the Timbers in Onalaska with area guests here with us on location and a studio audience. Good morning. Very happy to have you here, and you are invited to stop by the Timbers in Onalaska. If you're anywhere in the region, you can come and go as you like, watch the broadcast, say hello, participate with a question or make a comment if you'd like. We're going to be talking about presidential campaign politics after 7 o'clock this morning with UW La Crosse political science professor Joe Heim. Then it's our Week in Review program. After 8 o'clock, we'll be talking with two retiring legislators, state legislators, Barb Gronimus and Terry Musser will be our Week in Review guests after 8 o'clock this morning. But right now, we are joined by two food enthusiasts, two local food fans, and very happy to have them with us. Joining us, Monique Hooker. She is a chef, she's a cooking teacher, and she is the author of Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen. Good morning, Monique.
Good morning, Joy. What a pleasure and a really, really an honor to be here with you today.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to have you. You have been on with Gene Faraca a number of times on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for getting up early and doing an early edition of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are also very fortunate to have with us Richard DeWild. He is owner of Harmony Valley Farm, and he just arrived moments ago with a box of seasonal produce. Richard, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Joy.
I know that this is a very, very busy time of the year, so we are fortunate to have you. You're busy trying to get vegetables out of the field and store the harvest right now.
Harvesting, and we're planting our garlic today.
You're planting garlic? Yeah. So what do you have in front of you here?
A couple colored cauliflowers, squash, really nice Savoy cabbage, sweet potatoes, a few turnips.
And this is the seasonal harvest right now.
This is just a small part of it.
What else is coming out of the fields?
Lots of other roots, you know, lots of carrots, beets, more kinds of turnips, about three kinds of radishes, another five or six I'm not thinking of right now.
And Monique, you are, I bet you just have a thousand ideas on what you would do with this. What would you do with this lot right here?
I think, first of all, I think for those of you who are listening but not looking at this table, is the colors here in the fall are just vibrant but very earthy. And when Richard just walked in, I just wanted to embrace him because he brought a beautiful, beautiful, crisp vegetable. And I think when you look at that cabbage head and you're looking at that beautiful yellow cauliflower or purple cauliflower, we don't think of those colors. We, you know, I think a lot of people think of vegetables as summer vegetables because summer vegetables, I call them lazy vegetables because they grow with sun and water. But spring and fall vegetables need a lot of help from the earth, a lot more than the summer vegetables. Vegetables do. So I really appreciate the fall vegetables, and I love their colors because the colors remind us of sweaters, of hibernation, mm-hmm. of fireplace, of wonderful soups and stews. So when I look at this, I think of soup, I think of stew, I think of really hearty chili, I think of stuffed cabbage, I think of braised cabbage, I think of a wonderful thing. But I think what people don't realize with fall vegetables, the weather that we just had the last couple of days, it's just perfect because the vegetables now are going to taste sweet. They've been tame. You know, I don't eat cabbage in September because September reminds me a lot of a teenager. I call this cabbage in September as teenager, one day good, one day bad, one day good, one day bad. You know, it's very erratic. So I wait for the frost and I think Richard has already had somewhat of a frost on the farm. So the vegetables have been hit with this cold weather. So the sulfur in all of these vegetables have really tamed down. So now they taste wonderful and sweet again. And this is what we got to learn to do. And the same thing with the squash. I mean, the squash, yes, they've been harvested. But it doesn't mean they're ready. They're harvested because the vine they grow on dies down, so they have to be harvested. But most of the time, they have to ripe for a few days, few weeks, sometime a month before they are good. So knowing how to pick your squash is looking at the stem, looking at the flower head, looking at the colors, and weighing them, all that kind of stuff. It's just really, I call it funneling with your vegetables, you know. It just feels great, you know. And I see a sweet potato. I mean, we are so lucky that we have sweet potato in the area here. But they don't come out of the ground sweet. Richard has to put them into a very warm hangar to boost the heat up because they are tropical and subtropical vegetables. So here in the north, they have to be boosted up to 90 degrees, I believe, right, Richard, to really get their sugar high. So now it's time to do it. It's just coming out of that heated hangar. So now the sweet potato is just beautiful and delicious to mix with all kinds of other vegetables.
Well, I'm getting hungry already, and I'm sure many in the audience are as well. We are going to check our weather forecast, and then we open our telephone lines for your questions about seasonal produce, how to prepare it, eating locally. We are celebrating local foods this hour on this first hour of the Joyride in Onalaska. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Monique Hooker and Richard DeWild. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email, talk@wpr.org. Or if you're in our studio audience, raise your hand and Cynthia Schuster, my producer, will get over to you. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, broadcasting on location at the Timbers in Onalaska, inviting you to stop on down if you're anywhere in the area, inviting you to call in or email in as we talk about local foods and cooking seasonally. Talking with two local food enthusiasts, Monique Hooker, who is a chef and cooking teacher and author, and Richard DeWild, who is owner of Harmony Valley Farm. Richard, where is Harmony Valley Farm?
About 20 miles south of here.
Yeah, it's the first organic farm or one of the first organic farms in the region?
That's true.
Yeah, why did you decide to go organic?
Good question. That decision was made way back when I started in 73, and it was just after reading Rachel Carlson's Silent Spring, and decided I wanted to do it for environmental reasons. Yeah. Everybody said I was crazy, but...
Yeah, well, not so much. it's huge in this area right now, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, and I know, that in fact, that I'm familiar with Harmony Valley in Madison because you're at the farmer's market, the Dane County Farmer's Market, every Saturday, aren't you?
Yes, and we have over 500 families that get a box of vegetables through our community-supported agriculture program also.
That's right. And would this be the box of vegetables or something like it that people would be getting this week?
There's another four or five things, some really nice cold sweetened spinach, arugula, of course, onions and garlic.
Sounds
maybe
good. I was at a local restaurant last night, Hackberry's Bistro in La Crosse, above the La Crosse Co-op, and they had they're participating in a local foods initiative and had a special on the menu. The special was the local foods special, and it was butternut squash lasagna. And it was, so butternut squash, yeah. It was delicious, and an arugula salad, and I think there's a little wild rice and other, some apples. You can really
exactly.
Eat like a king or queen on local foods,
definitely.
Monique.
Definitely, definitely, and I think sometimes we don't realize that, and I think because we are, the public in general has been told it's connected to the seasonal food, that when they see vegetables they're not familiar with, they just stay away from instead of jumping in and say, okay, let's figure out what to do with this, you know, and what does it taste like? Well, I don't think I'm going to like it. So we have a lot of stigma that we have to get over, and this is why shows like this and teaching and lecturing around and my visiting the school and doing all kinds of demonstration around town really helps a lot. And my goal is to help people like Richard who are really working hard on the farm and producing beautiful food here locally. So I like to see all that food to stay here. And I know farmers like Richard, a lot of it gets shipped out because, you know, Whole Food comes to his farm and picks up the vegetables for the Chicago, Minneapolis area. And I said to myself, oh, it should stay here. It should stay in La Crosse. All the grocery stores should be carrying this. But the public has to ask for it. We cannot do it for them. We can only show them the way. And I think all of you are listening out there, and those of you who are here, you must ask your grocery store to carry, mention Harmony Valley, mention on the other farms that you have, that the vegetables are here. You want to see a section of your grocery store to carry the local food. I mean, we just got over a big campaign with the whole state of Wisconsin, Eat Local. You know, we held that the whole month of September, mm-hmm. where that's what you had that at the Hackberry, because they're still carrying that. And it's great to see that, because by that effect, it snowballs down that we saw a lot of restaurants in the La Crosse area, Vic and Viroqua, who really made an effort to carry a one or two dish using locally grown food. And it was so incredible. And people fell in love with it, just like you did with mm-hmm. your lasagna. And people say, oh, squash lasagna? I thought lasagna was just pasta. Lasagna is only but layer of things. And you can do layer with many different things. You can do lasagna with a cabbage, for Pete's sake. You can, you know, I mean, you can do it with a pumpkin and sweet potato. You can do au gratin vegetables or gratin potato with different kinds of potato. We've got a cranberry potato. We've got blue potato. We got sweet potato. We got Yukon cold potato. I mean, I came back from Peru. They have 400 different kinds of potato.
Wow.
And we only know the good old mutant potato from you know where, and I'm not going to mention it. But and so we got to get back to the root of things, you know, and I think that's where we're missing it.
Well, it's a busy time of year for Richard, but it is for you too, Monique. This is the fifth season for you. What is that?
Oh, the fifth season, my favorite season that I think people say, what the fifth season? I thought we only had four. Well, in the Asian culture, many, 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 many moons ago, they still talk about the fifth season as a season where we put food up for the winter. Remember back in the old days where you had to sterilize jars and wash them and sweat in the kitchen peeling peaches and putting up tomato, putting up peaches and putting up applesauce and all those good things. Mas, Philip and I, we live all through the winter with vegetables from the root cellar, like here, or food that we put up for the winter. So I do eat tomato in the wintertime, but no fresh tomato. I am not finished. I am going into green tomato, which we're looking at right here, to make a tomato pie. Fried green tomato. Anybody heard of that movie?
Yeah.
You know, and then my next fresh red tomato I'm going to eat will be not until really July, even later this year, because we had such a cold spring and such a wet weather that we barely got red tomato in the area, right? I mean, Richard, I mean, we're just... So knowing the season and not going to the market and say, oh, how come you don't have peaches? Well, if it's a cold weather, the peaches are going to be in a tree. And I'll tell the same thing. I say, I'll be in a tree too. I'm not going to fall down if it's not like... So that's the way I teach, you know.
And you say you're not going to buy a tomato, some one of those hothouse tomatoes from somewhere else that doesn't mm-hmm. taste like anything.
No, I do not. I do not. And I understand that... we have a lot of greenhouses that are farmers are trying to extend the season because they do make a living, and I understand that. But those are choices that we have. But, you know, stewed tomato sauce, chunky tomatoes, and all that kind of stuff in a jar is so wonderful because it has a flavor of the summer right in January when you bury the snow. It's wonderful to get one of those jars out. But a tomato that's been on the shelf for I don't know how many months, it came from God knows where. I don't think so.
do you see a lot of people doing a fifth season work now, or it's a lot of work. Is it worth it?
No, it's not a lot of work, and that's what we got to take out of this. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of work, because if you really think about it, every time you're cooking dinner, if you're making soup for four, make it for 12. It takes the same amount of time, and put some up for the winter. If you're making a potato chowder, an acorn squash lasagna. If you're making a lasagna, make a big one and cut it in size and put in some in the freezer. And before you know it, you're getting into a routine. And that's what we got to do. We are not putting food up for a family of 50. When you're at home, you're putting food up for a family of 4, 6. So you look at your family and you say, okay, what do we like? You know, and let's see what we can put up. And it's not expensive. Plus, it's a family affair. And I think this is what we have to do. We have to bring the family back around food. So many things happen around food.
And you told me before the program that you can actually make beets that children like to eat.
Yes, and that is a question I get all the time from people. I say, how do I get my kids to eat all those funny-looking root vegetables? We're looking at turnips over here. We're looking at sweet potato, beets, celeriac, which is one of the ugliest vegetables around, but the most delicious one around, and turnips and rutabaga. What I do when I go to school, I make a salad. I don't cook the vegetables. I put them all through the food processor and grate them like you would grate cheese. And I mix them all together with a little bit of raisins and almonds and a little bit of oil and vinegar. And the kids devour it. They say, oh, Monique, Chef Monique, can you come to school and show us how to do that? This is delicious. And they will eat it. And it's full of vitamins.
Speaking of the schools, you have a program that's getting some national attention, a farm-to-school program where you want to get local produce into the schools instead of those school lunches that we're so used to having healthy local produce and
foods. Exactly, and I think Richard will agree with me too, because I think Richard has been trying this for a long time, and I think we all been trying. And since I moved in the area 8 years ago, so I've been working with the school for 7 years on demand from parents, demand from teachers and food service. And finally, after 6 years of working at it, I got the Viroqua School to adapt one program where we did a ratatouille, where we put food up. We cooked 500 pounds of ratatouille vegetables, which is zucchini, tomato, eggplant, peppers, onions, and all that. Put it up in the freezer, and now they're serving it at school at least once or twice a week, turning into a ratatouille pizza, a ratatouille over pasta, ratatouille as a side dish, and the kids are adoring it. So my goal is to get another program going. But that takes money, because we do have to pay the farmer. I do not want Richard to donate any vegetable or any other farmers. My goal is to find farmers that will grow food just for the food service, for the school, the hospital, the retirement home, and support farmers to do that. Not a monoculture, but have them give them a series of vegetables. If the kids like broccoli, okay, let's grow broccoli, cauliflower, and all that, and just give it to the school. And they're all for it, but we need the money. We need grant. We need to change the USDA. We need to change the whole so much stuff.
Let me hold you there. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue celebrating eating locally and cooking with the seasons during this joyride stop in Onalaska. We welcome your input, 1-800-642-1234. Send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, happy to be broadcasting on location from the Timbers on Highway 35 in Onalaska, inviting you, if you're in the area, to stop on by and join our conversations all morning long. We'll be here until 9 o'clock. We're talking about local foods, celebrating local foods, and cooking with the seasons during this hour. In our next hour, we'll be talking about politics, the latest from the presidential campaign trail, after 7 o'clock. And then after 8 o'clock, it's the week in review. So join our conversations all morning long as the Joyride, as we call our statewide tour, broadcasts from Onalaska this morning. We are celebrating local foods and cooking with Monique Hooker. She's a chef, a cooking teacher, and the author of Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen, the second edition, and also with us Richard DeWild, who is owner of Harmony Valley Farm. We welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send us an email, talk@wpr.org. Or if you're in our audience here at the Timbers, raise your hand and Cynthia Schuster will get a mic over to you. And we do have someone in our audience. Julie in Onalaska has a question. Hi, Julie. Well, apparently we are having a little problem with that wireless microphone. Julie wants to know ways to prepare celeriac. First of all, what exactly is that, Monique?
Well, I think I'm going to let Richard answer that first part of the question because he's the one that's growing the most beautiful crop of celeriac in the area here. But before we do that, I want to make sure people don't... It's a celery root, but it's not the root of the celery ribs that you buy as a celery stalk in the store. It's a different plant altogether, but the same family. So Richard, talk about growing it. I think it's my favorite vegetable.
I like to call it the mother of celery because it's very old. Before celery was probably developed from the older celery root plant, which celery root stores its energy for winter in a large 4 or 5 inch root ball that stores very well and is a very nice, mild, really good celery flavor that really can be available all winter long.
Definitely, and I think, you know, there is a joke going around in Europe because it's European favorite vegetables in winter. You can go from Norway all the way down to the Mediterranean region. They adore the vegetable. They say, don't let Americans find about it because they will be eradicated. And it's so true because we cannot live without it. I cannot live without it. I adore the vegetables. Now, first of all, the first thing to do, it's an ugly vegetable. It's the ugliest one on your shelf. So I see always people staring at it and looking at it and afraid to touch it. I say, no, come on, pick it up, fondle with it. You know, it's kind of fun. It's very knobby. So the way you peel it just like the way you peel a grapefruit or an orange with your knife, just going around, just pretend you're going around the earth and removing the outer core. So you end up with this beautiful, bright white, knobby, meaty, beautiful vegetables. But it turns brown quickly. So you have to have, if you're not going to use it right away, you have to have acidulated water nearby to just keep it from turning brown if you don't mind it. Makes great soup. It's just celery and leeks together, celery root and leeks together. And why? Because leeks are just coming out the ground at the same time as celery is coming. So this is how you cook. You cook with things that are coming out of the ground by the same time. You always end up with wonderful things. So just sauté, add your celery in cubes, whatever. You can grate it and make a beautiful soup. Puree if you want to, or puree half of it and make it into a chowder-like texture. We all have different texture for vegetables, for soup, so it's fine. But my favorite way, and in France you see it in all the charcuterie window through Germany, Belgium, you see this beautiful tray of remoulade. A remoulade is the name of the celery root, grated raw, it's not cooked, you grate it, and very lightly dress with a light mayonnaise, a little bit of sour cream and Dijon mustard, and just dress it up. You can gobble it down. It's great on a sandwich, it's great with beets, it's great with other things, so it's really a wonderful way. And that way, that salad will stay in the refrigerator for a few days. And the celery would store it in a very cool place where you keep your apples. It keeps for a long time. It's a great vegetable. I don't think we're eating enough of it, and that's a really a good way to do it. So, Julie, I hope you can get rid of your celery from now on.
Thank you, Julie, for the question. And if our microphone was working, we would have heard that Julie said she also is a member of the community-supported agriculture program and gets boxes of these vegetables and other produce from Harmony Valley. Richard, this is something that goes on through the winter as well?
We go through January and start up again the first week of May.
And how do people, what is that all about? What happens if you join something like that?
Well, it's a Families join us for the whole season, and starting the first week of May, every week they get a box of what's available on the farm. So it changes really weekly, but definitely with the seasons.
Yeah, and it's not just local vegetables or produce we were mentioning during the newscast. Meat is also something that is local and seasonal.
Definitely. I think Richard raises a beautiful beef and pork on his farm. And, of course, they are fed from all the trimmings coming off the field. So can you imagine how wonderful, tasty that is? And the reason I think people don't pay attention to season when it comes to animal is because, again, we're disconnected with what's going on in the countryside. So I really wish everybody take a ride out there. But this is the end of the grass season, so cattle that have been, veal that have been grass-fed and are ready for the meat production. The pork that's been free-range out there is also that. And the other thing that we don't, lamb is now also finished because all your fields now, the grass is dying down, so all your animals now are ready to be butchered for the winter, for those of us who like that. So I only buy local meat. I do not buy meat from anywhere else. It all comes from here, from right here in the Coulee region. But the other thing that I think we don't think about is chicken. How many of you think of chicken as being seasonal?
No, I don't.
No, I don't think so, because we get chicken from everywhere. We get eggs from everywhere. But if you live truly on the farm and looking at the Coulee region, now the hens are slowing down. They're not laying eggs like they used to because it's winter. Just like all of us, we are slowing down. We are bundling up for the winter. We are getting a little bit more fat on to keep us warm in the wintertime.
Speak for yourself, Monique.
Yeah. No, actually, I lost 20 pounds.
No,
so
I'm just
good.
Teasing.
But so that's something to think about, too. So, and if you look at cooking in the wintertime, in the old days, or if you look at cookbook, all your cookbook desserts are of chocolate, custard, angel food cake, because there's no food in wintertime. So all your dessert at Christmas and all those places are not raspberry tart or pear tart or plum tart. They're all chocolate cake, chocolate this, chocolate that, cheese this, cheese that, because that's what's available. And we have to go back to it.
Let's take a call. Richard in Chippewa Falls is on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Monique and Richard. And really appreciate the show. A few years ago, I do some work for the Heidi Cultural Center in Chippewa Falls, and we developed a fundraiser. And originally we wanted to name it the Celebration of the Harvest, but we ended up, because of people's recognition of the way you phrase things, we call it the Taste of the North. This year it's going to be on Saturday, November 8th, but what we have done is we started out working real closely with a fellow named Nathan Berg at Native Bay. And Nathan had a wonderful restaurant, which he sold gourmet food from all local sources. And so we have expanded on that. And so we have a tasting event that is, it's all local, and it's all as much organic as we can make it. But we have, like, Castle Rock Dairy comes. Gordy's Country Market makes their local meats. The Creamery Restaurant, which is trying to do what Nathan Berg did at Native Bay, an excellent restaurant using nothing but local ingredients from local farms. Just Local Food Co-op, Hans Market, Connell's Orchards, Venison America, and then we have local wineries and microbreweries as well. We also have the Bullfrog Fish Farm. So things like Chateau St. Croix Winery and Viking Brewery. So it's all in our backyard. It's all excellent food. And again, we try and make it as organic as we can.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Richard, why are you doing this? Why is this so important, do you think?
Well, because it's how we like to... My wife and I kind of came up with the idea. It's how we like to eat. It's how we like to spend our dollars when we shop. You know, we prefer shopping in our backyard as much as possible, and we know that that's it's the right thing to do, and it's also become somewhat trendy. And we also appreciate the people. Again, there's Lucy's Deli, for instance, in Chippewa Falls, where they are bringing in local ingredients as much as possible and putting that out to their customers.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Thanks, Richard,
for the call.
It's wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, and we're going to check our weather forecast once again, and then we'll talk more about the local foods movement and other issues, welcoming your questions and your comments for both of our guests, Monique Hooker and Richard DeWild. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joy Cardine broadcasting on location at the Timbers in Onalaska. We have an enthusiastic studio audience here. Thanks to everyone for stopping by early in the morning. As we talk about, for the rest of this hour, local foods, cooking, and cooking with the seasons. We are so happy to have with us Monique Hooker, chef and cooking teacher, and Richard DeWild, who is owner of Harmony Valley Farm. And Richard, I was on your website the other day as I was preparing for this program, and when I drove over here yesterday, I thought about stopping at your farm because you invite people to stop and take a visit and to look around. Why do you do that?
Well, the families that we've been feeding for many years, what they tell us is that when they have brought the kids to the farm and they could actually go out and pick vegetables right out of the field, that it changes the way they feel about vegetables and the way they eat. They actually become really good eaters. And that has a positive effect on their life, their whole life.
Yeah, why do you think it has such... why do they become good eaters when they visit the farm?
Well, I think it's the connection with the food. It's the same way that we feel when we sit down and eat a meal, and it's, we know where everything comes from. If it isn't something we produced, we know the local honey producer that we trade honey with, and so there's nothing on our table that we don't know the origin of, and it just, I think that makes food much more special.
You know, Richard in Chippewa Falls was telling us about this this event, the Taste of the North, and and why he thought it was important to be supporting local businesses with his dollars. And you nodded your head, Monique, about how important that was to do that.
Definitely, and I think this is something we don't think about. But if you really stop and think about this, that when you buy food that's coming from, I'm not going to mention, as far away as Australia or wherever, you know, out of the dollar, only 10 cents of that food stays in the area. 80 cents of the dollar is gone. Versus buying food here from your CSA, your farmer, your local producer, it's just the reverse. 80 cents on the dollar stays right here in your local, in local here, versus 10 cents going out of here. So it's just that alone should make everybody really make an effort. So if I'm asking people to just really $1 a day spend on local food will make a big difference. And I'm not asking for much, but $1 a day. So $1 a day is maybe a quart of milk. It could be a pound of apples. It could be a spinach, whatever it is. But make the point to look local. And, you know, we've seen the change on the government now is asking grocery store to label where your food is from. So let's pay attention to it and let's enforce that. I really, really strongly enforce that. And I make a point when I go to the grocery store to ask my the teller who is there, where is this from? Just a story I can share with you. When I first came up here and I went to a local grocery store and I asked where that fish was from, what the answer was, from the ocean.
Oh, no.
And I say, okay. I say, I'll be back in about 10 minutes. Just find out which ocean for me and I'll be back. And I came back 10 minutes later. I still didn't know where it came from. So I say, well, okay, then you get to keep it because I am not eating it. And this is how we can change our local purveyors in our local restaurant. It's just by expressing yourself, just the way you do with your shoes and your handbag and God knows what else you buy every day, that you make a point of finding out where it's made.
It's good for the economy. It can be good for the environment, less shipping and all that. As you mentioned, too, with cooking with the seasons, it's delicious, too, isn't it?
Oh, it's delicious. And, you know, those of you out in the audience, you're looking at this purple cauliflower and a yellow cauliflower. Sure, when you're going to cook it, you're going to lose that color. But why cook it? Take it out and use it to dip. Give it to the kids. You know, the kids are going to dip it in the sour cream or yogurt while they're watching you shopping or doing homework. This is how you get the kids to eat.
We have another audience member who has a question. Steve from La Crescent, Minnesota. Well, hi, Steve. Thanks for coming over.
Hi, Joey. Thank you. Richard, I was curious. I'm looking at this beautiful table of vegetables, and not only are the colors gorgeous, but I can barely see a blemish on any of them. What sort of strategies do you use to keep pests under control organically?
The very most important and first thing is to have, you know, very balanced, rich soil. So these vegetables grow fast. They have everything they need. And pests don't mess with them.
But we will.
Yes.
We will funnel them, right?
You can funnel them.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Janine in Lansing, Iowa is with us next. Good morning, Janine. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have so much I'd like to say about this subject, but I guess as an educator and as a parent, I'd like to talk or get your opinions about how we can do more about getting, like you mentioned earlier, these foods into our schools, and thinking specifically about how to educate food service workers and kind of inform our kids as well, and let them actually sample.
Wow, you tackle a very big, big project, and it starts really at the ground roots here. The ground root is for you in Lansing is to find mind-like people like you who think that the school system should change food, and find a teacher, a couple of parents, maybe talk to the principal, and really share with them your idea. Bring people into the school to share with the students, bring farmers. You've got wonderful farmers outside of Lansing and in the core area, the organic farmers. Bring them into the school. They love to do things like this, to sample and taste. Taste is the key. If you can get the kids to taste food, to get their hands on food, to prepare food, I think it's a wonderful way. To actually get the school to change, it's we are working on that all throughout the United States. There's a big, big program going on called Farm to School, which I'm involved with. So it's not going to happen overnight, but we need people like you to constantly pound the pavement around the school and don't let go. Just be a very good watchdog. But at first is to get the farmers to come in and share with the kids at the cafeteria a taste of apple or something that's very simple that they have never tasted before, because we know an apple a day keeps a teacher away, but an apple, a local apple, tastes very different than an apple that's been stored for 3 years in the state of Washington or Australia or Chile waiting for someone to buy it. And people don't think about it that way, but it's true. So a local apple don't travel. They are apple that stay here. They are a very different apple. And the kids go, wow, this is good. This is how you do it. Just use your taste, smell, you know.
I wish we had more time. We're running short of it. But I wondered, Monique, maybe we could end the hour with you inspiring us once again. Maybe what could we think about for dinner tonight based on the produce we have here on the table and other seasonal foods that may not be on the table?
Well, what we have on the table here, we have green tomatoes, we have sweet potatoes, and we have also two different squash. So for dinner tonight, and the cauliflower I'm looking at there, first of all, I would not cook them. I would cut them out into beautiful flour, I'd put them on a beautiful tray, and dip them in some hummus, you know, and get some hummus from the co-op or something, and just use them as a dip like this. I think Richard and I can make dinner out of that. say. I'm looking at the squash. The squash, I would cut them in half and bake them. And once they bake, you can just turn them into a beautiful mash, or you can turn into a beautiful soup. The sweet potato, I would slice them very thin and throw them in the oven with a little bit of olive oil and pepper and just roast them. Roasted sweet potato, I think, is to die for. The cabbage, if you were to use a cabbage tonight, I think the best thing with the cabbage tonight, and, you know, we're looking at the outer green leaf. Don't throw those outer green leaf out. You know, when you go to a store, you can never find a green cabbage. All look white. And I say, what happened to the green leaf? Because this is the best part. This is where all the flavors here. This is where, sure, the texture is rougher, and but it makes a beautiful stuffed cabbage.
I wish we had more time. It's we just got started, it seems, and the hour is over. Richard DeWilde, owner of Harmony Valley Farm. Maybe we'll see you at the Dane County Farmers Market one of these Saturdays.
I'll be there. It's tomorrow.
Good. And Monique Hooker, author of Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen, a chef, cooking teacher. We can look on your website. You have cooking classes.
I do cooking class on demand now because I'm kind of retired and very involved, but on demand. So groups that want to come down, many groups come down. Yeah. So they can find all the information on moniquescuisine.com. And
thank
you.
You
can find my book there, too.
Thank you very much. Thanks to everybody here at the Timbers in Onalaska. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.